Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. There in verse 10, it says, that ye may approve things that are excellent. I want to preach to you this morning from these verses just for a little while on approving things that are excellent. Let's pray. Father, help me this morning, I pray, for your honor and your glory. In keeping, Lord, with the theme of this year, the proving things that are excellent, help us, Lord, I pray, God, speak to our hearts. Keep us awake, keep us alert. Lord God, I pray you would pour out your Holy Spirit. I plead the blood of Christ. Bind the enemy, bind the strong man. And God, give us, Lord, power here to preach, to say what would be said, and then nothing less or nothing more. Lord, fill us with joy, with your peace, with your perfect understanding, I pray, and wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. The theme of this year, of course, is proving all things and making sure that they are indeed what God would have them to be in your life and around you. Proving all things as far as what they are wrong or right, or whether they are good and godly or they are carnal and of the world. And I want to show you just a few things here in these verses that I read today. The Apostle Paul had the same desire for the church at Philippi. He wrote this epistle, and he wrote to them from bondage. He wrote to them from prison. He wrote to them being in bonds, he says there in verse 14, waxing confident by my bonds. He was bound for the gospel. He was chained up. He was locked up. He was in prison because of his preaching the gospel. However, he's telling the people there in the church, to all the saints, it says, at Philippi, he says, I want you to understand something, that there is nothing wrong. What is happening here in my bonds is not wrong. It is not anything to be ashamed of. It's not anything to take or to feel bad about. It says here, notice there's a common thread in these verses, if you will. Let me read a few of these verses to you again. Paul and Timotheus in verse 1, the servants of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on in verse 5, the fellowship in the gospel. In verse 6, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on, verse 8, God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. I want you to see there in verse, and finally in verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest. Folks, the fact is, when you're looking at proving all things, when you're looking at approving things that are excellent, when you're trying to decide what's right and what's wrong, the first question you must ask yourself is, where is Jesus in this? Where is Christ in this? Where is Christ in this particular issue, in this thing which I'm trying to prove? There's a formula here that Paul lays out for his people, lays out for the saints, lays out for you and me, how we can learn to approve all things. It all starts with Jesus. Is Jesus in the midst? Brother DeShazo just read it to you there in Romans chapter 8. And all things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
To them who are the called according to His purpose. What was the purpose of God? God's purpose was Jesus Christ being born of a virgin, being a perfect sinless human being, dying a sinner's death, becoming sin for us so that we could become righteousness in Jesus Christ, and rising again for our justification. Jesus Christ, when Christ is the center of the issue, listen, then it's okay. We need to find Jesus in the things that we're looking at today. And we need to find Christ in I told my children earlier this week, and we've talked about some other things, but I don't remember. I think it was Alyssa, and she's not in here. But I said, look, no matter what's going on in your life, here's one thing that you got to do. You got to find God in it.
Amen.
Find God in it. Where is God in it? Because God is not ever dead. God is not ever done. God is never finished. Look in verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, confident that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of, until this world is over. God is performing a good work in you. Find God in it. Find Christ in it. Because this, as you notice, this man Paul here is writing these verses from prison, and all he can talk about is Jesus.
Amen.
Obviously, there's something good happening in his heart. Obviously, there's something good happening in his life. You can say amen right there.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. If something is going on in your life that God is involved in, by the way, and He's involved in it somehow, His ultimate purpose is that when you get on the other side of it, or maybe right in the middle of it, is that your main focus will be Christ. Jesus.
Amen.
You know what Paul was thinking about while he's in prison? Jesus. You know what Paul's thinking about while he's bound up? Jesus. Look in verse 21. For to me to live is Christ.
Amen.
Now, he's telling these people, and I'm trying to tell you what he's telling them. I'm just trying to get it, but he says it plain as day. He says, this thing has fallen out unto me for the furtherance of the gospel, because it's all about Jesus Christ. Look in verse 12. I would you should understand, brethren. I want you to understand. I want you to have greater wisdom that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel. The things that look bad. I mean, it looks bad that the man's in prison. It looks bad that the man's bound in chains. But he's telling them that I found Jesus in this thing. I found God in the midst of this. I know that God is performing a good work in me. I know that He's not done. I'm very confident of this very thing, that He begun something in me. He's going to work it until I'm gone. He's not going to stop.
Amen.
And whatever's happening to me, whether I feel good or not, whether it looks fun, whether it's all frills and fancy, or whether I'm bound in prison, God is working in me something that's going to further the name of Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to approve all things that are excellent. We think of excellent things. And right off the bat, our minds are carnal. Our minds are worldly. And we think of excellent things. We think of things that are fun and bring laughter. We think of things that bring joy. And we think of things that make us more comfortable or whatever the case may be. But excellent things are the things really in this man's mind. This man's one focus is Christ. And he says, if this is what is going to come of this, then I want you to understand this is an excellent thing that's happening to me. The theme of our year is proving all things. And really you could say it, you could phrase it this way: finding God in all things. Finding God in your schoolwork. Finding God at your job. Finding God in your house. Finding God in your relationships with others. Finding God in your finances. Finding God in your sicknesses. Finding God in your troubles. I mean, Brother Benny is just telling me today that he has to dig up the front yard because his plumbing is leaking. His pipes are leaking all over the front yard. Now, finding God in that is not going to be so easy, is it? He's got to dig ditches. He's got to dig up the plumbing. He's got to dig up the whole yard. And he's not finished. And he wants to go on vacation next week, so he's got to get it done before he leaves. But the fact is, we have to find God in those things.
Amen.
Where is God in those things? Where is God? How is God working in my life, in the midst of my troubles, in the midst of my times of really just understanding is not there? Why, Lord? Why, God? But see, if we could get to where Paul is, and I really think that that's my desire this year, is to get where the man of God is here in the book of Philippians, to understand, look, that all things are because of Christ, and to me to live is Christ, and as long as Christ is still alive, I'm okay. As long as Jesus is still going forward, I'm okay. As long as I'm still able to do something for Christ, to me to live is Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said in Galatians chapter 6, He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. What do we glory in? What do you live for? Finding God in all things, approving things that are excellent. I want you to know, by the way, it starts off, like I said, is finding Jesus, finding Christ, making God the center of your focus, even in the times of uncertainty, the times of fear. Always, in number one, verse, how are we going to approve all things? Number one, we're going to always have to be in prayer. Look in verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Always in prayer. How am I going to learn to approve all things that are excellent? How am I going to learn to find Jesus Christ in the center of my bondage? How am I going to define God in the darkness? Well, I'm just going to go in prayer into His presence. February 9th and 10th is a Friday night at 10 o'clock through Saturday night at 10 o'clock p.m. It's a Saturday. It's a family Saturday. There's no scheduled activities here at church. We have a family game night that night, Friday night, but it will be done by 10. From 10 o'clock p.m. till 10 o'clock p.m. Saturday night, 24 hours. Our church is going to be in continual prayer unto God.
Amen.
Now, there's a sign-up sheet in that hallway in there for you to give me your word that you're going to pray at least, I put it in 15-minute time slots, 15-minute intervals. Now, I'm going to start it off for the first hour, but from that point on, listen, it's going to be, you can put your name in there more than once. You can put your name in there more than once, but listen, don't tell me you're going to do something and not do it. If you're going to do it, put your name in there and do it. I'm depending upon you to be honest. But we do not want this chain to be broken for 24 hours. We want our church to be in prayer for this city, for our loved ones, for the lost of this city, for our church, for our future, for this year. Our church to be in prayer for 24 hours straight with a chain going from one person to another person to another person to another person in prayer for 24 hours. Always in prayer. We're going to have to make prayer a priority in our lives this year if we're going to learn to approve all things. If we're going to learn to approve the things that are excellent. The man of God, listen, you can bond me, you can tie me up, you can handcuff me, you can chain me, you can throw me in the darkest, deepest, dark dungeon, but you cannot make me stop praying.
Amen.
You can't take that away from me.
Amen.
You can take away my Bible. You can take away my church. You can take away my legs, my arms. You can until I lose my life, you cannot take away my prayer life. You can't take it away. And for that, I'm thankful. Because I know every day of my life, I know I need to pray more. And I know every day of your life, you need to pray more. We all need to pray more. We all listen, there is no limit to the power of God. Do you believe that?
Amen.
There's no limit to the power of God. And when God's people begin to pray like they really should, always in prayer, then the power of God is brought down to our lives. There's a saying, it says, a little prayer, little power. More prayer, more power. Much prayer, much power. Folks, listen to me. I've lived it. I know it. I've been on both sides of it. Unfortunately, I know the difference. And I'm trying to impress upon you, the man of God is trying to impress upon us this morning, that if we're going to learn to approve the things that are excellent, if we're going to learn to find God in all things and just focus on Jesus Christ, listen, when you go to God in prayer, sooner or later, that's all you're thinking about is, oh God, oh Lord God, oh God in heaven, and your mind is focused and centered on Him.
Amen.
On Him. You can find Him in the middle of a dark dungeon because you can pray. You can go to God when you're sick. I remember, for some reason, I remember this certain time I had a real high fever when we were in Bible college and we were living in Fort Worth and I was working two jobs. I don't know. I don't remember. Anyway, I had a fever. I was sick. And I just remember laying in bed with that fever, and I was sweating. And then when the fever gets to a point, you begin to almost hallucinate. You begin to almost start seeing things that aren't there, and your mind, you get dizzy. And I just remember laying there, and I don't know why I remember that particular time, but I just remember laying there, and all I could think about was I was trying to figure out a passage of scripture. And I was thinking about David and how he carried the Ark of the Covenant and how Uzzah got killed, and I remember just in my mind, I mean, I was dizzy, all I could think about was this scripture and why this man died and how the ox cart moved and and he tried to steady the Ark of the Covenant and God killed him. And for some reason, I just remember that to this day. I was sick as a dog. I mean, I was just sick. I was trying to sweat out this fever, but all I could think about was scripture. I was just in prayer trying to, God, why this happened? And what do you want me to learn from this? And for some reason, I guess I must have read that recently or something in my time of Bible reading. But I remember that to this day. That was at least 10 years ago. Folks, no matter what we are going through, no matter how we feel, our minds can still be focused on God in prayer. I couldn't open up my Bible and read the Bible at that particular time. I closed my eyes and I was with God in prayer, and I was meditating on Scripture. By the way, I'm trying to help you learn how to pray. A lot of prayer is just going over what you know the Bible has said and just meditating on Scripture. And it, you know, in the Bible, the several times the Bible tells us that the Lord appeared to a man in a vision at night. And really, that's just prayer. That's just a man being alone with God in prayer at night, and God speaking to him, and not in the literal vision, like I can see you and you can see me, but just in my mind, I can hear God's voice, God speaking to me. I'm in the presence of God. Prayer is nothing more than you getting into the presence of God. It's nothing spooky about you seeing anything visceral, literally, but it's just where you close your heart and your mind and your eyes, and you're focused on God, and He's real to you, and you're going through Scripture, and you're envisioning God working, and there's nothing wrong with that. You're just consumed with Christ. To me, to live is Christ.
Amen.
Do you pray like that? Is God real to you? When you pray, do you go to God in prayer, where you get alone with Him and you're just focusing and meditating and concentrating on Scripture and what God's doing? And boy, that's how all of my messages are born, in prayer. I read the Word of God, and then I go to the Lord in prayer, and God begins to show me truths from that Scripture that I just read. God begins to reveal things to me, pull things out of there that I didn't see just reading it. But then I go to God in prayer and I begin to meditate about this Scripture and wow, this is going on. And God begins to give me insight into that Scripture, helps me understand it. And then many, many, many times, many times He's answered my prayer by using Scripture and bringing things out of that Scripture that I didn't see on my own, but in prayer I was able to see what God was trying to tell me.
Amen.
You know, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, you can pray.
Amen.
The thing about prayer is most of the time when we need to pray the most, that's when we pray the least. I don't know exactly why that is, other than just our lazy nature. We get discouraged. And it takes work to pray. It's work. You've got to do it on purpose. Nobody accidentally prays. Always in prayer. From your fellowship, in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. We must learn to, number one, always pray. Verse 9, number 2. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. We need to learn, number 2, not just always be in prayer, but in the midst of our things, when we're trying to find God, we need to abound in love. That your love may abound. Excuse me. We need to learn to abound in love. Abound means to just overflow, to let ourselves be taken by love. In other words, number one, our love for God, folks. Listen. Our love for God. Brother DeShazo read Romans chapter 8, but the end of that chapter says, turn over there with me. Let me just, instead of quoting it, Romans chapter 8. Verse 38. I'll be back to Philippians 1. Verse 37. Let's read that. 8:37. Nay, in all these things, in all the things that I don't understand, I know that we are more than conquerors. Why? Through Him that loved us. Through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. What? Now listen, the key to that is in Christ Jesus. Once I'm saved forever. I'm in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate me from that love. And in the midst of all of my trials, in the midst of my sicknesses, my financial woes, my doubts and my fears, my question mark, how do I find God in the midst of that? I learn to always pray, and I learn to abound in that love, understanding that He has not stopped loving me.
Amen.
But number two, abounding in love is also abounding in love toward others. I wish I could get you to understand this. Many times when I'm feeling just kind of out of sorts, maybe just not exactly right, if I go soul winning, for an example, I always feel better.
Amen.
I always feel better.
Amen.
Because I begin to realize there's a lot of other people out here
Amen.
Who need the truth, who don't know Jesus Christ, who don't have salvation, who don't have the hope that I have, who don't have the confidence that I have, knowing that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. And I begin to see them. And I realize this is not about me. This is about my love for my Lord and then loving my neighbor as myself. Well, I see it takes my mind off myself. It takes my eyes off of me. And I begin to see God in the midst of my problems. I begin to see God in the midst of my doubts and my questions. He said, of course I have questions, but and God doesn't answer our questions right away. Many times He lets us learn patience. He lets us prove ourselves that we're going to be faithful. And He uses that time, however. He does not go away. He does not fall off the cliff. He's always there. But we have to spend time on purpose to find Him. We find Him in prayer. We find Him abounding in love toward Him. Remember, He didn't stop loving us. And then we start loving other people. We do things for other people. When I'm in there teaching that Sunday school class, I'm not thinking about anything other than teaching that Sunday school class.
Amen.
If I could get you folks, Christians, to understand that serving the Lord is a blessing, it would help you tremendously to begin to do something for God by doing something for other people. You can take the Saturday morning soul winning. You can take you could begin to work on a bus route. You could begin to drive the van. You could begin to do things for other people as a service unto God, and you don't do anything but give yourself to serve God. And before you know it, you don't even know why you were discouraged. You don't even know why you were not kind of off of your game, so to speak. You just realize that I'm here because there's other people that need the truth. Jesus Christ is still the focus. Remember, He said, these things are happening to me for the furtherance of the gospel, that the gospel will keep going forward. It will spread wider and farther than it is now. Always in prayer, abounding in love toward God and others. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Number three, if we're going to find God, prove things that are excellent, find God in all of things that we happen to us, we're going to always be in prayer. We're going to abound in love toward God and others. And number three, we're going to have to learn to appreciate our lot in life. appreciate what we have, what God has given us. Again, I told you that this man was in prison. And he was trying to encourage people from prison. He was trying to tell them that he appreciated the fact that he was in prison and for them not to worry about it. Boy, this is really night and day from what happens to us most of the time when we get ourselves somewhere where we didn't plan to be. Something happens to us that we didn't plan. We usually try to get people around us to help us feel better. We usually complain about what's happening to us. You see, but Paul, the man of God here, said, I appreciate what's happening to me right now because it's going to help others later.
Amen.
It's going to help others later. Fanny Crosby wrote over 900 gospel songs. We sing them all the time in our hymnal. She was blind. She could not see. And she wrote gospel hymns that are still a blessing to millions of people today. She found God in her blindness. She found God in her darkness. And she even grew to appreciate it because it's still helping people today. She didn't know it then, but she realized in prayer. By the way, a blind person can pray just as much as you. They probably pray a lot more than we do. A deaf person can pray. A dumb person who can't speak can pray. A lame person can pray. And then through prayer, she learned to abound in love toward God, toward others, and she began to appreciate what happened to her. I'm not blind. None of you are blind, not right now. Some of your eyes are closed, like you might as well be blind sleeping. But you're not blind right now. But you may have something wrong with you, or may come something wrong with later on that she didn't have. We're all unique people. God has a plan for each one of us that's not the same as it is for everybody else. That's all I'm trying to say. And when I have a problem with this many times. We begin to compare ourselves with other people. We begin to compare our church with other churches. We begin to compare our home with other people's homes. We begin to compare our money with other people's money. We begin to compare ourselves and we think, well, I just don't have it like they do. Well, we need to forget all that and realize that God's dealing with us as individuals, as Ethan, as Chris, as Benny, as Pastor Fall. We're individuals. We're not all lumped into one big cookie dough ball. We're all individual cookies.
Amen.
That's a good... Well, I don't know about that. We're all individual Christians. We're all individual people. We come from different places. We're going to different places. We're all saved, yes, by the grace of God. We're all forgiven by the blood of Christ. But we're all individuals. God has the future for us. God has a purpose for our lives. It's not the same for all of us. But He wants us to learn to appreciate what He's doing for us. What He's doing in our life. Because He is working. Being confident, what does verse 6 say again? Of this very thing that I know, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He is not done. He is not going to quit. He has not stopped. He has not laid down. He's not like us. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
He will perform it. He will do what He is going to do in our life. And that confidence led this man to know, I'm just going to keep praying, I'm going to keep abounding in love, and I'm going to appreciate what God's doing in my life, because I know it's going to help people later. The grace of God is what Paul's talking about. God taking something that's worthless, like me, and using it for His glory. Using it for good. Now, when I first got saved, I promise you, I didn't know what was going to go on in the future. I remember God dealing with my heart about being a preacher. And I remember telling Miss Falk, the first time I told her, I said, you know, what if God's calling me to preach? And she said, are you crazy? Well, yeah, I'm crazy. But that was a long time ago. I don't know, 15 years ago, 12 years, 10, 12, 13, I don't know, a long time ago. But we can't see the future. God was dealing with me about preaching. God did call me to preach. God did train me. God did send me here. And God, but at that time, you know, we're not thinking, she wasn't thinking, oh yeah, great, wonderful, I can't wait to be a preacher's wife. But she's learned to appreciate it. We've learned to appreciate what God's done for me in our lives. What's God doing for you? Well, it don't seem so good right now. I know that. Somebody else may look at you and say, are you crazy? Like she did me. But if God's doing it, it's good. It's good. It's good. If God's doing it, it's good. Appreciate it. Lastly, you just need to understand this. We must avoid anything that would separate us from what God is doing. We must avoid anything and everything, including friends, including family, anything and everything that would separate us from what God is doing. Now, he could not get out of prison and run away. But what I'm trying to say is this. He could have been very unhappy. He could have been very discouraged. He could have been even ashamed of Jesus. Look at verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Why does he say that? Because he was tempted to be ashamed of what was going on. He was tempted to be ashamed of Jesus. Has anybody ever said to you, or maybe you've said it to somebody else, yeah, well, what has your God done for you? What has your God done for you? Amen. And the fact is, they could have said that to Paul easily. Said, really, Paul, what has your God done for you? And let me promise you, that's what Satan's going to do, climb up on your back and say, really, what is God doing for you? What's God doing for you? You're not rich. You're not famous. You're not even pretty. I'm not looking at anybody. Boys, you're not even pretty. And you're not. But you're not supposed to be. You're men. That's another message. But somebody will say, what has God done for you? And if you're not careful, listen now, if you're not careful, you'll start getting ashamed of God. Start being ashamed of what you're doing. Start being ashamed of your life. So be ashamed of going to church. Ashamed of your Bible. Ashamed of Jesus Christ. Ashamed of the truth. Ashamed of the gospel. Because somebody, well, what's God done for you? Folks, no matter what God does for us from this day forward, number one, we know He's performing it for our good.
Amen.
Number two, if He never does anything else for us, He saved our sinful souls from hell. He died on the cross for our sins. We deserved to burn in hell. We deserved it. We were sinners by birth, and we were sinners by choice. And we deserved to go to hell. And Jesus took our place. He became sin for us. His blood, through His blood, we have forgiveness, we have redemption, we have reconciliation, we have ransom full and free. We have been made clean and clear from all unrighteousness. We are clear from clean from all condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We have been forgiven, we have been made free, we have been cleansed and made whole. We are saved. We are God's children. He is our Father. If He never does one more thing for us but stick us in a rotten dungeon, it's not going to be easy. But when we're right with God, we'll understand that there's nothing to be ashamed of, because one day I'm going to wake up in heaven and I'm going to be there forever. Amen. Amen, boys?
Amen.
Amen. But when somebody starts telling me, what's your God done for you? Right off the bat, I need to understand something. This is not a good person for me to hang around. This is not a good person for me to be buddies with. If you can't get away from them, then you're going to have to focus real hard on everything else I just said. But if you can get away from them, if you can avoid them, do not walk with fools. Walk with wise men. Wise men understand, I must always pray. I must abound in love for God and for others. I must appreciate what God's doing in my life, even if I don't understand it. Because I'm confident that He's working, He's performing, and He's not going to stop until Jesus comes back for me, or I go to see Jesus myself. And then I'm going to avoid anybody or anything that leads me away from that. Folks, a wise man will always help you appreciate God's will. A good friend, listen to me, is not a person who covers up your sin. A good friend is a person who encourages you to quit your sin. A good friend is even a person who tells you, you better stop or else I'm going to tell somebody else. A good friend is going to protect you, not provide cover for your sin. Amen. How are you going to approve all things that are excellent? Paul was in prison. Was that excellent? It was to him. always in prayer, abounding in love, appreciating your lot, what God's doing for you. And avoid anybody and everything, anything that would separate you from the will of God, that would even make you feel ashamed. If you feel ashamed of what God is and who God is and what Jesus has done, then you are in trouble. You're in trouble.
Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. You know, Paul could sing. Everything was wrapped up in Jesus Christ. He found God in everything. Prove all things. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for your help this morning. Thank you for these folks' attention. I pray, Lord, that I would have encouraged them through your word, through your spirit. Lord, I need your help always. We all do. Thank you, God, that you don't stop working, that you don't stop performing what your will is for our lives. Thank you, Father, that from the day you saved us, you're always doing something. I pray, God, that you would help us to always, always, always be in prayer, to abound in love, to appreciate what you're doing for us, in us, and, Lord, to avoid anything and everything that would separate us from your will. God, help us never to be ashamed. Bless this invitation. I pray for those that may be lost here today, not saved, have no idea what it means to know for sure that their sins are forgiven. God, would you please draw them to Jesus today? In Christ's name I pray.